Velkommen til manualen. En auditiv håndbog til kroppen og sindet med afsæt i bevægelse. Fast bag mikrofonen sidder jeg, personlig træner, vanecoach og retreatvært Benjamin Buus Hjertemod. Denne episode med Misty Tripoli, grundlæggeren af The World Groove Movement, har været pinligt længe undervejs, da den blev optaget på Costa Rica i december 2019. Af mange årsager er den blevet udskudt igen og igen, men nu sker det. I mellemtiden har verden ændret sig, og jeg har ændret mig. Så det har været særligt at lytte til 2019 Benjamin som 2021 Benjamin. Da det ikke er en ansvarsforskrivelse, men det er kontekst. Fordi at selvom 2019 føles som et øjeblik siden, så er det helt tydeligt, når jeg lytter til mig selv tale, at jeg har ændret mig. Der har været corona, jeg har fået endnu et barn osv. Så det er min kontekst gående ind i den her og dele den med dig. I interviewet med Mr. Tripoli taler vi om dans. Og jeg synes, det er passende at dele det her interview nu, fordi jeg kan simpelthen ikke huske, hvornår jeg sidst har danset. Sådan rigtigt. Jeg har danset med mine drenge, jeg har fjollet rundt derhjemme, sådan, men jeg kan ikke huske, hvornår jeg har haft følelsen af virkelig at danse. Og der er den her sang, hvor hun siger, we've lost dancing, siger hun sådan igennem sangen. Og taler om alt det, vi har mistet her under corona og lockdowns osv. Så derfor synes jeg, det var passende at endelig dele det her interview nu, og hvor der er så rig mulighed for at komme på dansegulvet igen. I interviewet med Misty, der taler vi om hendes dansesystem Groove, hvordan musik og dans bevæger os fysisk og emotionelt, og om hvordan frygten for at danse er forskellig fra land til land. Misty fortæller om hendes tid som tv-træner i LA, hvor hun var blandt de højst betalte fitness-trænere, og samtidig kæmpede med bulimi, og om hvordan det hele kulminerede med en spiritual awakening og en åbenbaring om hendes livsmission. Tak fordi du lytter med. Jeg ønsker dig en god fornøjelse med episoden. Thank you so much, Misty, for taking your time to sit down with me. So one of the things that I've heard people say about you, and that I have experienced too, is that you are really good at asking questions. One story that I find very inspiring is how you started questioning the religion you were brought up in. Would you like to share that story?
Sure. I love sharing that story. Actually, I grew up as a very strict and devout Mormon in Salt Lake City, Utah, which is the home of Mormonism. And I was fed it from the moment I was born and never questioned it and really believed it. I was pretty devout and I wanted to be a good person. And so I followed the rules. I did what I was told. And I was also taught, like I said, not to question. So until I was probably 17, 18 years old, the man that I was going to marry, because I got married at 18, because Mormons get married very young, I was engaged in high school, which, as well as many of my girlfriends, were engaged in high school, because it was just normal that you get married out of high school and you start having babies and make a family. That's the Mormon way. So the guy that I was going to marry was not Mormon, and that was not okay for anyone in my family, except for my mother. My mother was okay with it because she had 7 children at home and she just needed to get one of the kids out of the house because it was less responsibility for her. So she's just like, he's a good man, go. And so I was 18 when I got married. And the blessing of that was that he started to ask me questions about my religion. And I couldn't answer those questions. And it really started to open up my mind to realize that I've been brainwashed. That I actually believe something that I don't even know or understand truly. I actually didn't even know what I believed. So I went through several phases when I realized I had been brainwashed. I got really, really angry and lashed out against the church. And then I started I was on this, a quest to help all the Mormons and tell them the truth and wake them all up, and realized that was pretty ridiculous, and people think I'm just crazy because if they believe it, they think you're a whack job. So I realized that wasn't going to help, and that all I could really do was work on myself and just be an example of another form of truth. And it was pretty wild. So I was Mormon until I was about 21 years old. But religion's been a huge thing in my life, because right after I was Mormon, my husband was a born-again Christian. And so I dove into born again. I became a born again Christian. And after about 6 months, I was like, oh, this shit don't make sense either. Like, what the hell? Like, And just none of it added up. And then I said no to that. But then I started to study all forms of religion. I studied Buddhism and everything I could get my hands on. I just wanted to know, what the fuck is religion? And I just realized it was a means of control and that it's not necessary. But at the root of all religions is quite beautiful and positive. And at the root of what they're teaching is love and compassion and forgiveness. But it's the people and the dogma that gets in the way and ruins it and makes it something that makes you feel guilty and not good enough. And I realized I went through all those phases too, but it was pretty awesome to free myself from that clutch of thinking I had to believe in a religion to be saved or to go to heaven. So, and that's been my quest kind of my whole life, is to help people ask themselves the big questions.
Mm. And so I guess your relationship with your husband at that time, did it end with you leaving like all religion, or when did you guys split up?
Well, we were married for 8 years, and no, he was a lovely person. He was a beautiful, he lived his religion, and he really, and that's what turned me on, is that he really was, he had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ for him. And it really helped him in his life. And I admired that. But when I told him, this just isn't for me, I'm sorry, he's like, that's fine. You just have to find your own relationship the way you need to and how you need to, as long as you're happy. And he really, it wasn't that big of a deal for him. But we probably broke up 4 years after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He sounds like a really special guy.
Yeah.
Actually.
He was.
Being religious and like, and living your religion as well, and then being okay with you need to do what's right for you. That seems quite contrary in comparison to what you hear with other people talking about in these religions.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't so like dogmatic. He just believed that this is mine and it helps me. And if it helps you, great. And if it doesn't, you'll find your way.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. He's a really, really great guy.
But how's your relationship to music growing up?
Oh, Jesus.
Exactly.
That's my Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
When I talk about music, for me, it's like my best friend. It's my meditation. It's my savior. And it has been since the moment I was born. Like, I literally, I say this, but it's truly funny. My mom will tell you the same thing. My mom was only in labor for about 3 hours. She didn't even make it into the hospital room. I jumped out of her vagina in the elevator. And I just started flailing my arms and my legs. And my mom said, you have not stopped dancing since. And they used to call me Tippy Toes when I was little, because my mom was like, you never needed a babysitter. I just put music on and you would dance for hours and hours. And I remember when I was little, Elvis Presley was like, I loved Elvis Presley. I still love Elvis Presley. And I would go down in the basement and get one of these old, old little record players. And I'd put Elvis Presley on and I would just dance my heart out and sing to Elvis Presley. As young as I can remember, I was dancing and making up dances. I would get all my girlfriends together when I was little, like 8 years old, and bring them to the house and make up a dance and teach it to them. And it's just been the thing I couldn't do. Mm. I couldn't not do.
Mm. And was every genre allowed? Like, how was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was no genre. Well, I'm not really heavy into like hardcore punk rock and really aggressive music. Mm. It doesn't make my body want to dance. It actually makes me feel aggressive, and I don't like that feeling. So I'm not really into that, even though I can appreciate the good of all. But I went through a phase where I actually was a hardcore hip hop dancer and had a love affair with Michael Jackson. In my mind, I married him and he was my, you know, like all young girls did. I would cry when I saw him go on the stage with his sparkly glove. And it was just, you know, just lost in the fantasy of all of that being young. But I was into breakdancing and, you know, spinning on the ground and the worm and all this stuff. And then I ended up, when I was in my 20s, going on a hip hop tour around the U.S., performing hip hop all around the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, so touring's been a part of your life quite early on then.
I've kind of lived on the road pretty solid for about 20 years.
I wanted to talk about musical embodiment, because that's something we talked about at the retreat, and something that I find very fascinating. Some people can feel music, other people can't. Some people feel music in a different way than other people. There's even people that can see music. But how would you define musical embodiment? What does that mean to you?
Well, I honestly believe that everyone hears music, but we all, like you said, hear it very differently or feel it or sense it differently. But it's, for me, the embodiment is when you really tune into the music, whether it's through colors or whether it's through feel or whether it's whatever. And really, for me, it's like becoming one with the music. It's allowing the music to go through your body and giving yourself permission and allowing your body to do whatever it wants to do to the music, the way it moves you or makes you feel, and allowing that to express through your body in some form. I think that's embodiment, when you just have given yourself complete permission with no holds barred, no care what it looks like, to just allow music to move you, even if it looks ridiculous. Or what I find is that it's actually quite easy to embody music if you can just quiet yourself a bit. I think that's the thing that gets in the way of most people, is that they're so chaotic in their mind that they have a complete disconnect from their body. Mm. And whether it's with music or anything else, I find that most people live in the top 4 inches of their body and never really come down into the actual body and live in their bodies. And music is such a powerful way to do that, because no matter what, music moves you. That's why they use it in movies. If you were to take the music out of movies, people wouldn't cry anymore. Like, it's what draws the emotion. It's what draws the, and you get lost in it. When you're in a movie, that music is going to pull you, whether you're a music person or not. It's going to take you somewhere. And in a movie, you're kind of lost in it, which is beautiful. You're immersed in it. So you're single focused on it and you're in the movie. But in a dance studio where you just put music on, you're too in your head because you're judging it and thinking about it and trying to analyze it, or you don't think you know how to do it. So it just blocks you from having that experience. But I think everyone has the ability to embody music and actually does it even when they're not realizing they're doing it.
So if I were to practice this myself, let's say I don't feel like I can move to music, I don't know how to move my body when I hear music, how would I start? How would I practice by myself? Mm.
Well, this is something I do a lot in my workshops too, which is I just say, just, you can either sit, if you're not, like, depending on your body, I always say honor your body first. So if you need to sit down or even lie down, if, you know, if you have limitations, but go in a place that's very private, just by yourself, where there's no interruption, no one can see you, and put on any kind of music, but I highly suggest putting on music that you really like, that gets you excited or happy or sad or whatever that you like to listen to. And just sit with the music and close your eyes and breathe with the music and feel the music, hear the music, let it come through you. And don't be in a rush to do something, but it's inevitable that eventually the music is going to make something happen. Your body's going to want to move somehow, whether it's a flow or a like staccato kind of sharp movement or whatever. But the process is going through your own mind, especially if you've never done this before, is you're going to judge it and you're going to feel stupid even when you're by yourself. I went through this too. Even though I was a dancer and I could embody music and I could dance, I never actually, up until I was about almost 30, wasn't until I learned to embody music and really give myself permission with wild abandon, with no care in the world of what it looked like, to get past my own judgments of myself, wasn't until I was in like my early 30s. But I could feel music and dance to it. And so most people, and this is if you're at home and you want to try this, anytime the judgments come or you feel stupid, just take a deep breath, and whatever you do, just exaggerate it a little bit. And just keep proving to yourself that it's okay, that you're not going to hurt yourself and that no one's looking. And that what I realize is it's true insanity when you're even feeling stupid, even by yourself, when no one can even see you. We feel stupid to ourselves, which I think is insanity. And so when you really think about that, that your body was built to dance. Your body, like I say it all the time, we dance before we walk. Mm. Babies move to music before they can even crawl or walk. So dance is our most primal, most natural, authentic way of moving, but we lose connection to it because of that fear of looking stupid, even by ourselves. So much of the work I do, and in the embodiment of music, is you have to get past your own thoughts and your own judgments. And the only way to do that is just to practice and keep proving to yourself that it's okay. And the way that my body moves is the right way. There's no right or wrong way to dance. There's no correct form. There's no like pretty way and wrong way. And I think it's unfortunate, because the moment you are taught how to dance, you're no longer dancing. Mm. because now you're being taught, you're learning someone else's form. You're not doing your own form, which is a natural, organic, beautiful, delicious way of moving. And the only way to do that is really just get intimate with yourself and let the music move you. Give it permission. Just, oh, what does it feel like? I just want to shake my ass. Well, then fucking shake your ass and shake it so good it feels so good. And it'll blow your mind when you start to prove to yourself that it's okay. And not just that, but it builds your muscle of authenticity. And I think that's a powerful thing because many of us don't even know what our authentic self is. And dance is a really powerful way to find your authentic self.
For sure.
Yeah.
My brother had this experience of when he attended his first groove class with Troy, my girlfriend, who's also one of your master trainers. He's a trained dancer and has been training dance and worked with a lot of interesting teachers, working with contact improv, working with the stage performance, and now he's just finished his bachelor in dance as well. But he met some quite interesting restrictions when he was on the groove dance floor, where it... He's been practicing embodying music and moving to music, but all of a sudden he was meeting some kind of, I think he met his own idea of some standards, maybe like how he should look and how he should behave. And all of a sudden there was a lot of freedom. And I think he mentioned that he felt a bit better than this, because this was just a party. Like, this was a dance party, and there was, It was a different stage than what he was used to be on, and this was like actually his own stage. I would like you to introduce Groove, like your huge worldwide baby, to the listeners, and then we can dive a bit deeper into people's experiences on the Groove dance floor. So, what is Groove?
Well, it's a loaded question because the groove is based off of a method that I created, which is the groove method, a methodology of movement and a philosophy behind movement. And then there's the groove dance floor experience, which is what your brother experienced. He came to a groove dance floor. And basically, if you come to the groove dance floor, what you're going to experience is basically it is a ridiculously fun, super simple, unified group dance experience. And it's just a really unique and creative way to experience dance together as a group. You don't need any... absolutely no training. There's no right foot, left foot. You don't have to memorize choreography. If you feel uncoordinated or anything, you'll be so welcome on the dance floor because we don't worry about that stuff. But what we do is it is facilitated. So there's a facilitator that comes in and unifies everyone in one thing, whether it's a rhythm, whether it's a movement or an idea. And everyone's in the same thing together, but everyone does it completely their own authentic, creative, unique way. The interesting thing about your brother is dancers tend to have quite a bit of ego. I did too. I've been there, done it, and I made fun of people that would dance crazy and wild and free because they clearly didn't know how to dance. And I know how to dance. I am a trained dancer. I know what I'm doing. But actually, I'm not a trained dancer. I have no formal training whatsoever. I had a knack of the ability to pick up dance. I could mimic any style, any format, not a problem. I could just embody it very simply. I could follow choreography. I could pick up choreography. I choreographed shows for ESPN, like, and with no dance training at all. So I had this massive ego around dance that I was so good I didn't even need training. So when I went into these things, and I totally understand your brother because I've seen it many times. I even went to New York City and went to Broadway Dance Center and worked with some of the best dancers in the world. And about 70% of them were bawling their eyes out at the end of Groove. And they were like, why aren't we doing this? Why isn't this curriculum for dancers? And the reason why is the methodology. And the methodology is that there's no right or wrong way to dance. And that, like I said, dance is our most primal, natural form of movement. We move to rhythm before we even walk. And we lose connection with that. But that when you're given permission and a safe space where... no one's judging you, and you prove to yourself, it's a place to practice proving to yourself that nobody actually cares. And my method is based off five simple truths that came to me in my own personal awakening in my life, like huge awakening. We can talk about that story if you want, but it shifted my life completely when these five truths came to me, like a download. And it wasn't even just a truth. It's a truth I knew my whole life, but it was in one moment that I was actually able to apply it, which blew my mind. And the first is that no one actually cares what you look like. And that hit me like a ton of bricks because I had lived my whole life trying to impress people and living my life for everyone else, trying to buy the right car, live in the right apartment, all of that stuff. I didn't even know who I was. I was bulimic for 16 years. And these truths hit me like a ton of bricks. That one right there, no one cares what you look like. They're all so obsessed with themselves. And if they do care, it's their problem. Why would I restrict my happiness and my joy and my expression of life because I'm worried about what someone else thinks about it? I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, it was just like, it was like that clear. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to move my body how I want to. I don't care. Like, you can judge me. Go live with your own yuck in your mind because your judgments you have to deal with. The second truth was that I am a unique and everyone, there's 8 billion people on the planet and we are all unique individuals. We should all absolutely move differently. We should not move the same. Our bodies are built differently. Our history, our genetics, everything plays into that. That was the second truth, is that I'm a unique individual. I should be different. And then the third one was, is that when I do something my own authentic creative way, it's impossible to get it wrong. And we teach this, these are the truths we teach on the dance floor that give people permission to dance. So that when I'm moving my body in my own creative, authentic way, I'm nailing it. It's when I'm trying to copy someone else or move like someone else, that's when I'm missing the mark. And there's something that you very powerful and uniquely happens when you actually are being authentic and moving your body in your own authentic way. You're in alignment. You're in atonement with yourself. It's a connection, a very deep connection with yourself. The fourth is that no one's going to do it for you. And that was a huge truth for me because it goes even deeper into my life that I was waiting for someone to come and rescue me. I thought that there was going to be my knight in shining armor that was going to come and take away all my problems and save me from my sadness and make me happy and pay all my bills and, you know, all of this. And it was the same with my health and it was the same with dancing. I was just like, no one's going to do this for me. I have to stand on my own 2 feet and be a champion for my life and for my body and for my health. And so that was the fourth truth that we teach. And the last truth is you don't know shit till you practice. You don't know nothing. You know nothing until you actually apply it and embody it. And so those are the truths that we basically at the beginning of every groove class, we just say, you know, and we embed them through the groove. So while people are dancing, if we see people loaded with fear and restriction because they're looking around to see who's looking at them, we just keep giving them permission. Honey, no one cares what you look like. Prove it to yourself. Move like a crazy person and see that there's not one person in this room looking at you and there's no one that cares. Don't let that ruin your experience. Allow yourself. So we have to keep reminding people, especially new people. But it's interesting with dancers because there's a right and a wrong way. And that's what they struggle with.
Even though it's like a loose format, like they have a lot of drills. Also, when I've attended a bunch of dance workshops and acrobatic workshops, like there's a lot of just being still, listening, see what you feel like doing, and then start doing something. But there's always a way of doing it in some way. Like this seems to be an approach, maybe.
So or a technique.
Or a technique, and that can be limiting, for sure. Yeah.
Yes, well, it can be until you can use those techniques to actually free your body more and gain more access to your movement. Mm-hmm. But it's a process. I think it's a process, because I went through the same thing, too. It's interesting, because I've found this so much with people that are dancers, and then they have the experience. Now, one thing that's also really powerful, and I said that about what the groove dance floor experience is, it's a unified group dance experience. Now, what's interesting, and that's part of the thing that actually moves people so deeply, they don't know why. They don't understand why it created so much emotion in them and why they felt this, like, what is happening to me? I have that happen all the time. What just happened to me? Because I just had a dance party. Like, I was raving out to, you know, like some trance music, and then I was doing some hip hop, and then we were high-fiving and clapping and dancing around each other and shaking our booties together. Like, I didn't have, it wasn't a spiritual, like, ecstatic kind of experience, or it wasn't like a yoga or anything like that. And the fundamental key is the unity, is that when you come together with the, because we've lost touch with our tribal nature and we don't dance in tribes anymore. And so really ultimately my secret is that groove is actually a really modern, fun, funky way of bringing tribal dance back, to bringing people together to unify, to connect and flow together. That's why it's different than any of these other dance experiences, because everyone's doing their own thing. Now in groove, you're doing your own thing, but you're doing the same thing as everybody else. So there's this connection, this anchor in every song that brings us together, that creates a base language of communication so we can play with each other. We can walk around each other. We can have a connection and a moment together. And like, most people don't have those levels of intimacy and connection in their lives. And then to feel it on a grand scale where you've got 50 people in the room moving to the same rhythm. They're not all off in their own little world doing their own thing. They're actually unified in the same beat, the same thing that's happening. And that is the stuff that we used for thousands of years to heal, to praise, to celebrate, for everything in our tribal
culture. To connect as well, like to connect to each other, to see like we're one. We're a group. I think it can be, I understand, because I have been grooving quite some times, but I know that it can be difficult when you and your facilitators or other groovers talk about groove and try to explain it. Like it can be really difficult for people to understand, like, okay, so we're dancing to the same song, obviously, and there's some moves, but still it's very different. Like, how can you dance in your own way when there's moves? Can you try to explain that in a like a really simple way? Like, what happens if you and me were dancing together? What's the move, like the basic move? You mentioned in one of the workshops, you said like the secret is that it's only
walking. We're just walking.
Yeah.
And that's what I want people to know, is that it is that simple. Like, if you can walk, well, actually, you don't even have to walk. You can come and sit in a chair and do groove, because you can walk in a chair. You can move your feet to the rhythm. Mm. So we want make people know that there's no limitation. You can come in any condition that you're in. But basically, and to make it really easy for people at home, is that I'll be like, okay, in this song, all we're going to do is walk. And I connect everyone to the walk. And so we're all just walking. And then I have you start to walk around the room. And so everyone's just walking around the room. And then all I do is I ask you questions. Have you gone backwards? Could you turn while you walk? You get to choose, but everyone's walking to the same beat. And there's no right, left. There's no front of the room, back of the room. And what we do in groove also is we use the room very creatively. We use the walls, we use poles, anything. We ask you to push off of them and engage your environment as well. So it's just walking. And then I might ask, now, if you were to walk with a little style, how would that feel? Put your own personality in your walk. Like, walk your way, put some swag on it and see how that feels. So of course, everyone's swag looks different, everyone's personality. Then I'll ask them, can you move your arms while you walk? Now, of course, that's an open-ended question.
And
but
that's so difficult. I hate it when you say that on the dance floor, because I feel like, oh, this is way too feminine, or this is just clunky and this is weird. And why robot arms now? Like,
but that's how your
that's
arms are moving.
Exactly.
But that's how your arms want to move. And there's no right or wrong way to move your arms. I might, if it's a soft, like a really soft, flowy kind of song, I might encourage you to help you embody the music by coaching you into use your arms, but make them soft and see how that feels. Now, your version of soft is different than my version of soft, but that's what you get to interpret yourself in groove. That's why you see in groove, you walk in and everyone's just walking, but you see 50 different ways of walking and 50 different ways of expressing it and personalities and engagement. And we also encourage a lot while you're walking around, you know, you kind of like smile at the people as you're walking next to them. So you start to really build the connections. But it's that simple. Like, it really is. It's just most of everything we do is just walking.
Mm. And you work with these dance cues. What I really enjoy about this is that you're not telling people, I need to see more arms. I need to, for you to do this. You're encouraging, like, try this or notice this. Like, sometimes people are paying too much attention to their feet. Like, they haven't even noticed that they're just walking around looking at their feet. Like, and you give them imagery and you have these, you have these cues, dance cues, I think is what you call them. How do you use them? And like you just mentioned soft arms. What could other cues be? And is that a way of helping embodying the music?
Absolutely.
Putting some imagery there.
Yeah, because most people don't know how to embody softness. And so they need some cues, like feel the softness in your hands, let your arms float. So I'll give many different words, but this is part of learning facilitation. That's why we don't call the people that teach it teachers. They're not, because they've got nothing to teach you. Mm. No one can teach you how to dance. What our job is to facilitate a space to encourage you to find your own dance. Because I wouldn't want to teach someone how to dance. That's too hard. Like, it is still frustrating. So, and in our training, our facilitation training, we teach them what are called pathways of communication. So you learn this, and in the pathways, you learn how to cue. But we also have all different types. We have commands. We will command things. Mm. But it's a command that inspires you, as opposed to makes you feel like you're getting it wrong. Mm. We might... and we'll ask questions. A lot of it's questions and suggestions. You could go backwards, right? just to, you could, just to offer something out there. And then, because I believe we need to make our own decisions, we need to be autonomous. And when someone's allowed that with their dance, they're more open to doing it. If I just said, now turn, they'd be like, oh, okay, oh, now I have to turn. And then they feel like they screwed it up and then they're off and then they feel like a failure. My goal is in facilitation is that they feel successful. They instantly feel like, I've got this, because all we're doing is offering suggestions and ideas and possibilities and things you never would have thought of. You know, like, have you tried it? Have you tried going sideways? And then instantly they're going to try going sideways and feel it out in their body and see if it works. But they have the choice not to. Mm. There's no right or wrong. Our job as a facilitator is just to say words that encourage them and inspire them to try different things they've never tried before with their bodies. That's why at the end of a class, most people are like, I did not realize I was such a great dancer. I had no idea I was this good. It's like, yeah, because you've been trying to follow somebody and you've been trying to follow a right formula for dancing. And that's not what this is about. This is about your way of moving. No one else's way. Your way is the right way. That's what we say all the time. Your way is the right way. Trust, trust, trust. And let it go crazy. Look stupid. We love, like, we're just, like, with Groove, I love it because it's like we say, you know, dress up, dress down, dress like a clown. We don't care. Come, like, it's a no judgment.
And people do.
They do. Yeah, they do. Wear tutus. Like, it's, but that's, I think
that's
what I love.
That's what got my girlfriend hooked, some of it. Like, she loves dressing up. And that's, like, the best groove she has is, like, Halloween groove or, like, these themed grooves. So you play around with the themes as well. Like, you have many different types of classes, and what I really enjoy about what you're doing as a, like, the CEO or the founder of Groove is that your facilitators are allowed to come with suggestions or develop new ways of grooving. What do you have now? Like the subdivisions or what are the siblings of Groove or what do you recall?
Well, because my philosophy is that more minds are better than one, and that basically it's my method. It's a philosophy. So this philosophy can be applied and be used in many different ways. Like, we do it with kids in schools. We apply it to teaching music. We apply it to so many different things. But this is what's great is that there's a base frame, and within that, it makes me so excited that everyone that teaches it gets to express it their own way. Which is because I'm all about authenticity. So I want them to express it their own way and come with their own ideas. But like, you can take it, I have very therapeutic yoga type grooves, which are really like chilled out and relaxed and deeply soft and meditative. Then we have raging dance parties with finger lights and raves to, you know, a Halloween groove where everyone comes in a costume. And one of my favorite is ladies night. I love to do ladies nights all around the world to really help women with their sensuality and physicality so that they feel more beautiful and feminine. And so I'll do one that's just for women. So we can apply it because it's a method that we can apply to anything. And it's just how we use the music. So the song choices we use, if there's a lot of men in our class, we're not going to use a lot of feminine music. We're going to try to bring in a lot more masculine stuff so they feel comfortable. So it really just depends on the facilitator and their audience and what experience they want to give them. Hmm. And they have absolute freedom to do that. So it starts with me. And then below that, I have my master trainers. I have about 10 master trainers around the world. And they all have their own unique style and flavor. And all of them are also designers. And for me, a designer means someone that helps me create content that we share with our facilitators. And our facilitators are the people that have been to the training. They've gone through the process. They've done their practice classes and they've been approved to teach Groove. And but those facilitators have to use our content. They can express it how they want. They get to do it their own unique way. But we create the content for them because we've tested the music. We know the songs work and what movements go with what songs or what rhythms go with what songs. And they learn those and then they deliver it to their students. But what's great is also the people that are teaching it, they're like, well, I really like music and I have my own ideas. We have a platform for that too. I have a designer training. So people that are really interested in helping us create content, they can get involved as well.
Mm. And the music is, like, the music you meet on the dance floor is pop music. It's hits. It's not the, and it's also some of the music that you have people create for Groove, for another leg of the Groove foundation thing is the structure. What I'm trying to say is that it's all kinds of music.
Everything.
And you know the songs. It's songs you grew up with. So it's top 40 maybe, or it's like really intense hip hop, twerk-nado, ridiculous.
It could be anything. Well, it can be anything. That's the thing. And I've traveled the world. I've circled the globe 10, 12 times. And every country I go to, I collect music. And the magic of gold of everywhere. And so there's every style, every genre, jazz, hip hop, funk, trance, techno. I mean, you will hear everything on a groove dance floor. But we do that for a reason. Music, like I said, is such a powerful tool to move people. And different styles of music will make you move different ways. And we want you by the end of a groove experience to have moved your body in so many different ways and styles and forms and intensities that you get brain development. Mm. So it actually keeps your brain quite active. Mm. And so we use music as a tool, and groove music is very special. It's not any song can work for groove, but we use, like you said, we'll use old music from when you were a child. We do that all the time, especially if we've got older population, because we'll get them to sing. And if we can get you singing and dancing at the same time, well, that's like magic on crack. Like, it's just like, it takes it to a whole other level when you can actually, someone lets them go and surrenders into the singing, and you actually have a chorus of people dancing and singing at the same time. So we just use music as a tool, but we use every style.
There's so many things I could dive into now, but I want to just take you back to, like, what are all the legs of groove right now? Because there's also senior groove, right? And there's also like a high intensity fitness kind of groove, and then there's the kids groove. Yeah, and what else do you have?
Well,
and what do you have planned?
What do we have planned? Well, there will be no rock unturned. We will stone unturned. Because we just want to help everyone dance and be authentic. So we're figuring out ways to work with all populations. So the World Groove Movement is the actual global movement, and underneath the World Groove Movement, the legs are this. The first thing is the groove dance floor experience. That's just the general standardized dance floor for the average population. Okay. But then we also have all abilities groove, which is for people with disabilities, even mental disabilities, physical disabilities. Like, we work with Down syndrome and all of this. It's magic to work with these. Then we also have senior groove called Young at Heart. And that's for our older population. And a lot of it's done in a chair. And using a chair for balance or to sit in it, because a lot of these people are going into senior centers where people are in wheelchairs and can't move much. And the joy they bring is, they actually, like, it makes them feel so much younger, and they're so desperate to keep some form of movement in their body. So we do it with them. We do it with kids. We have a whole where we work with all different age groups and go into schools and actually do it in schools. We work with teachers to help implement groove principles into the classroom. We have Groove Fit, which is a 60-minute, really fun dance fitness workout. So it's more geared to your functional fitness stuff. So you're going to do more jumping and things like that. Then we also have Groove Hit, which is called Body Groove Hit. Hit is high-intensity interval dance training, and that's a 30-minute high-intensity interval dance class. Mm. And that's in development right now. It's almost done. And that's for those hardcore fitness people, because they want their hardcore workout. And I'm not a hard, I stopped doing that a long time ago. I do moments of it to keep my body challenged, to make sure I don't lose the capacities of my body. But I don't do it like I used to abuse my body with fitness. But now fitness is a way for me to love myself. So we've got the HIIT training. What else do we have? Oh, Body Groove.
Yeah.
And Body Groove is another, it's massive. Body Groove is our online, which allows you to groove at home with yourself or with your family. So we have we've got about 160 songs and styles and stuff online. It's called Body Groove On Demand. And you can get the app. The first 30 days are free, and it gets you grooving and at least moving with yourself at home. And then once you feel comfortable, or you're like, I got this, join us on the dance floor and find a class. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else we have.
That's very cool. How many people have currently downloaded the app, or how many users do you have?
Oh, wow.
Because I want people to understand, like, you call it the World Groove Movement. There's a lot of people talking about movements, but this is actually a movement. You're enough people to be a movement.
Yes, like, we are.
So you have 10 facilitators or master trainers. How many facilitators do you have?
We have trained about 4,000 people, and we currently have about 400 licensed facilitators around the world. We're in about 36 countries right now. We have facilitators in 36 countries. But Body Groove is global because it's online. And we just started the app a few months ago. And then we also sell DVDs, which is interesting because I haven't had a DVD player in years. But we tend to attract an older population because they can do it and they're successful and they love it. So they like DVDs because that's they don't know technology.
Yeah.
So we've printed probably close to 1 million DVDs.
Wow. Could you talk a bit about the Groove kids?
Well, yeah, it's watching kids groove because, again, it depends on the age, right? So the little kids will do anything. And we have to use we use a lot more of imagination and stuff because their imaginations are so wild that we can use that as a tool to really get them to play and be creative. But we don't have to do much because they're free. They're free in their minds. They don't have the restrictions that we have. And then as the kids get older, when they reach around between 10 and 12 years old, insecurity starts to kick in. They're so afraid of looking stupid in front of their friends and they get really clicky and they cling to each other. So you go to the schools and you really start to see the kids have massive behavior problems. They don't have a lot of respect for their elders. They've got a lot of just bad behavior. And when we come in and groove them, which is interesting because it's the way that we deliver it and we talk to the kids about the reality and truth. Like once I watched Danny deliver it once and it brought me to tears to have her listen to her talk to these kids, and they got it. And no one's talking to them like this. They're saying, you know what? We teach on the Groove Dance Floor that no one cares what you look like. But at your age, you guys do. And it's a huge thing. And you guys are always there's bullies, right? How many of you dealt with bullies? And we get them to engage with us and give us feedback so they have a chance to talk about it. And we ask them, how many of you are afraid to dance? And at around 10, 11 years old, like 80% of the kids raise their hands, which is tragic.
Yeah.
They're already afraid to dance. And so, but we give them really good, solid, truthful information and talk with them and have a conversation. So it's not talking at them. We talk with them and let them know that, you know what, this is a reality for you guys, but you have a choice. And this is where you have your power. You can either let what they do affect you and ruin you and hurt you, or realize the truth that they have to deal with their own judgments. And you can choose that I'm going to face it and I'm going to do it anyways and I don't care what they think, or you can choose the other way. But it's your choice, but it's a reality. You guys have to deal with this every day and really talk to them about what they have to deal with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of an hour, you've got these kids going wild, losing their minds, flying their hair. Like, to watch them transform is like, and then they're asked to come back. They have to keep coming back to the same school because when are we grooving again? When are we grooving again? And then the teachers have reported that the cliques start to dissolve. And because we tell them to celebrate the differences, that we don't want to look like each other. That's boring. Like it's the differences that make this world awesome. And we actually talk about that. And that when you move your own way, don't copy anyone, do it your own way. And they get it. That the teachers even say that like the behavior problems subside. The kids are more friendly to each other, more inclusive, and really celebrating their differences. It's been wild, like to even talk to the teachers. They're just like, please come back. Please come back. What you've done for these kids. Like, and so it's just been awesome to witness kids transform through groove.
So you have been teaching thousands of people now, just you. Not your trainers, but just you have been teaching thousands of people all over the world for, like, I would say more than half your life now.
Yeah.
What is the most common thing you experience people struggle with?
Their head.
Yeah.
It's all fear. It's just, and it's universal. No matter what country I go to, no matter where I go, it is a universal thing. The fear of looking stupid. Most people will not dance. It's like what I was talking about before. They can't get over their own mind. They can't get over their own judgments. And they're just terrified of looking stupid. And actually, like if you've ever heard this, the fear of like public speaking, the fear of embarrassment is actually greater than the fear of death. So there's people that would rather die than actually dance because they're so afraid. And that's why I think it's actually insanity because nobody gives a shit. Like literally no one gets, in fact, when people see people dancing wild and free, it brings joy.
Mm.
To even watch someone do that, even if it looks crazy, it still makes you smile. And people are just so caught up in their own heads, trying to worried about what other people think universally. But what I found interesting is I think I'm going to write a book about it in my later years about why people don't dance. And in every country, it's flavored just slightly different. It's always the fear of looking stupid. But in each country, there's a little twang on it that's a little bit different, like in the U.S. It's a fear of looking stupid, but Americans like to follow.
Hmm.
They don't like programs where they don't follow. They need to be told what to do. And I'm American. I'm saying this. I go to Germany. Same thing, fear of looking stupid, but it's also that they have to get it right. It has to be correct. It has to be right. I go to China. Theirs is they don't have freedom. They can't express themselves. So their fear is that they could actually get in trouble for expressing themselves. Like, it's just in each country, there's a little tweak on the flavor of why it doesn't culturally that also feeds into why they don't dance.
Mm.
And some cultures where it's not even socially acceptable to dance. I go to Kuwait and, you know, we have to go into a very dark room. We have to black out the windows. Like, it can't be known kind of thing. So it's depending on where I'm at, it blows my mind.
Of course, like you mentioned fear of dying. You can't really experience dying, but you can experience getting humiliated by talking in public. So you know that feeling. I got to think about one of the things that's really special that we actually didn't talk about. And you guys actually, you don't mention it much because it's something that you experience when you enter the dance floor, is that there's no spectators. Like, it's not like a party where there's half of the party is not dancing and there's somebody on the dance floor and somebody sitting there talking about the people on the dance floor. Oh, look at him. He thinks he can dance. And oh, he's moving in on her now. Look at this. Look at this. And like, that's also what manifests this fear in people. Like, they growing up, going to parties or dancing anywhere, basically, there's a lot of people just sitting there, not dancing. They're free to just judge and comment and, oh, you know, this guy is doing this and this. Oh, she's really dancing, huh? What's she up to? Like, at the groove dance floor, you're either dancing or you're taking a break from dancing.
Yes.
But you're not talking.
Well, yeah. Well, on the dance floor, I should have mentioned this, is that we want everyone to manage themselves and honor themselves at all time. You may not like a song, so we're not forcing you to dance to a song you don't like to. Like, so when you come in, we establish, number one, we make agreements. There's agreements that we make on the dance floor. One is there's no talking. You can laugh, you can sing, all of that, but no talking because it disrupts the meditative connection of the group. So we all agree to do that. And if you can't agree to that, then you can go talk outside. Another agreement is that we agree to keep the space really safe and be really aware of ourselves and how we're moving so no one gets hurt, because you're moving so dynamically through the space, you have to be really aware. And we also have that we all unite, that you agree that when you come to the dance floor, that when you come to unite. This isn't a freestyle dance class, that part of the agreement is that you agree to unite with the group, because it doesn't work if we don't agree to that. And then what we do is we set up zones. We have a place called the chill out zone. And that's a place, there's no talking allowed, and there's pillows and maybe massage rollers and stuff. And anytime you need to take a break, you can go sit and chill out and just be with yourself. But I also ask them to witness. Just be really present with yourself when you're in the chill out zone and witness what you're seeing on the dance floor and how beautiful it is to see people free themselves. And we don't feel judged by that because there's no talking and people aren't talking about people and there's no conversations going on. It's just a witnessing.
And you're also practicing yourself. Like, you've just been there. So you can relate in a different way. You're actually a part of it.
In the witnessing is where you actually almost learn more than anything.
Mm.
That was, and I'll explain why, where that came from and why I did that and why I established that on the dance floor. And the other zone is the freestyle zone. There's a small zone, little corner that we kind of like, we don't block off. It's just designated, because there might be a song that comes on that you're like, oh God, this is my jam. Oh, I can't unite with the group. I have to do my own thing to this song. I'm sorry, I can't. And we totally allow for that. So you go over into the space, because if you try to do that on the dance floor when we're unified, you could hurt someone. So we have a space for you to go over and just freestyle your ass off, get it out of your system, do what you got to do. But then when you're ready, you come back and unite. So we make sure that there's a space for everyone to honor where they're at all time.
Mm.
But the chill out zone, where you observe and you just witness yourself and you witness what's going on, came about because when I went through my ego of a dancer and I went through my process, is someone invited me to my first ecstatic dance. And I resisted it. Because I'm a dancer. I'm not don't go to these airy fairy weird foofy hippie things. I'm a dancer, goddammit. Like, I take this shit serious. But she kept going, Miss, and this was right around my awakening, so it was the perfect timing. And she goes, no, Misty, I think you'd really like it. The people there are really cool. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. So I show up. There's like 150 people in this big, huge gymnasium. There's no talking allowed. And there's contact and people. And I'm sitting on the edge. And I'm over in this like place. I put myself against the wall. And I'm not dancing at all. I'm just sitting there judging everyone. Stewing, watching everyone look like fools. I'm like, they don't even know how to dance to the music. They're completely off rhythm. That guy looks ridiculous. And this big, huge black guy comes flying across the room in a tutu. And I was just like, what am I doing here? This is insane. Like, and people touching each other and rolling on each other. And I was just like, I was so filled with my own judgments and I was so uncomfortable. And then by the end of that, it's weird. I made myself stay, which was bizarre. I sat there and it was 3 hours. And I just sat there and I witnessed. And then by the end, I realized, oh my God, they don't give a shit about me. I'm sitting here, judged every single person in this room. They don't even know I'm in the room, nor do they care. And you know what? They're free and I'm not. And I got to witness for the first time in my life, people that were free. Free. They didn't give a shit. Not one person in that room gave a shit what anybody thought. They were so free. And that struck me and hit me really hard that I was a dancer, but I was not free. And so I made myself go back. I was like, I have to do this again. So I went back again. And the next time I kind of danced on the edge but I danced to look good. I made sure I was dancing really good in my tech. Like,
if somebody saw you.
Of course, if someone saw me, they'd be like, oh my God, she's such an amazing dancer. And that was just, of course, that's what I lived for. So I was just trying to impress everyone. And again, no one was looking and no one gave a shit. Like, and I got to wake up to that's why it's the number one truth is that no one cares what you look like. And when you embody that through movement and you actually practice that truth in real time, it sets you free, literally. And but that's also why I created the chill out zone for observation, because that's where I had my great awakening to my own lack of freedom, was witnessing other people that were free in their body. And so just witnessing is such a powerful tool for awakening. So that's why it's part of the dance floor.
When did your awakening, when did the five groove truth come to you?
Hit me.
Yeah.
Well, I was about 32 years old, roughly. I was living in Los Angeles. I was at the peak of my career in Los Angeles. I was a director of the number one fitness chain. I was in demand at all of the studios. I was one of the highest paid personal trainers and fitness instructors in Los Angeles. I was getting a lot of notoriety. I was on television a lot. I was at the top of my game, but I was also severely bulimic. I was throwing up 3 times a day. I was abusing myself physically with exercise. I would teach 20 classes a week, full out, and then I would also come to the gym early and do cardio just to burn extra calories. I literally hated myself. On the outside, it looked like I had this whole figured out. I was driving the Volvo. I lived in Beverly Hills, had a dope-ass job, but I was working 70 hours a week, and in the meantime, trying to figure out how to binge and purge 3-4 times a day. And this all just kind of culminated to a point I was so uncomfortable and so dysfunctional. I didn't even know who I was. I really didn't. And I'm going to share this with you, but I was with a man, the guy I was going to marry, I was engaged to, my second engagement. And he was a huge pot smoker. And I really struggled with that. And I judged him for it. And I made him feel really bad on a daily basis for getting high. Like, I don't need that. I'm better than you. I don't need that. Like, you know, and I don't like how you are when you smoke. And I'd make up any excuse I could to make him feel bad for smoking. And he was the first man that put me in my place. He goes, Misty, shut up. You have no, you don't know anything about this. So if and when you want to learn about this and you want me to show you how to use this as a tool, we'll talk. But until then, you have no right to say anything. And I was so mad. I was just like, what? Telling me what to do? But then I really respected it. And I actually turned me on because I was like, wow, way to stand up for yourself. It was awesome. But it really did hit me. And probably about 4 months later, I remember, I went up to him and I said, you know what? Show me. And marijuana was my ayahuasca. And literally, and this like was a very, very like complete, powerful shift in my awareness in a flash. So I sit at the kitchen table, he loads up the bong, I smoke it. And he goes, well, you're a dancer. You can't sit, move. And I was like, okay. He's like, no, you gotta move your body. So I put some music on and I started moving my body and I could feel every particle of breath in my body. I had never felt so embodied in my whole life. And I was like, what the hell? And my movement was delicious. And I was just like I'm alive for the first time. And then I just like, it was so powerful. I didn't even know who I was anymore. And then I sat at the table with him and I looked at him. And like, I call it like the Matrix. If you've seen the movie, The Matrix, it's like, I literally took the pill. I took the red pill. I was in the rabbit hole, gone. And I looked at him and I literally saw the numbers of delusion falling. And I saw his soul. I saw his spirit. I realized he was me and I was him. And it was just this like, what the fuck is happening to me right now? It was so profound. I could not leave my house for 2 weeks. I couldn't speak. I didn't know how to communicate anymore because I realized words were just taught to me as sounds and it was just a collection of sounds. And I'm like, these are just, yeah, what's coming out of my... It was really, really wild. And it was, the largest turning point of my life. And from that moment, I've never looked back. And that was, I realized I'd been lied to since I was born. I realized, who am I trying to impress? I started asking myself the biggest, most profound questions. Who am I trying to impress? Who am I living for? When are you going to take responsibility? Like... And even my government, everything from food. I'd never even questioned food and chemicals. Everything just was like, boom, 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 boom. And my whole life changed. And then the groove came to me as a massive download. I was literally told what to do. And I know some people might think that that's weird. But after I started doing ecstatic groove right around the same time, or ecstatic dance right around the same time, I started to go into a dance studio by myself and put music on and set myself free on my own. And I just let myself fly. I was just lost. And while I was dancing, I realized information was coming to me. Like, I felt like I was Neo in the Matrix when I was plugged in and I'd wake up and be like, I know Kung Fu. That's how it felt. And it was just like, I woke up, but while I was dancing one time, the entire groove method came to me in a flash. And I literally was like, I know groove. And then I ran home and wrote the first manual. I couldn't stop writing. And scripted the whole thing out what the five groove truths were. That's when it all came to me. This is what you have to do to give people permission. This the unity needs to happen. Da, 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 and then boom, that was it. And then right after that, I started teaching all my classes differently and I was different. And then I just stopped throwing up. Just like done. Like I was done. I was like, why am I hurting myself? I almost killed myself. I was throwing up blood every day. And in one fell swoop, I was like, I'm not going to hurt myself anymore. I'm done with all of this. Like, this is insane. And it was quite profound. And then right after that is when Nike found me and all the doors opened. When I started to go into alignment, I started being authentic to myself. I started dancing my own way, trusting my own way, doing things, not giving a fuck what people thought about what I said, what I wore, how I did my hair, what car I drove. I sold my Volvo and bought a little tiny Saturn, the shithole that was $500. And I was like, yeah, like, because I just didn't care anymore. And I was free. I was just completely free and liberated. And then the World Groove Movement was born.
So you say Nike found you.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, thanks for sharing.
It's, yeah, you're welcome, sir.
That was awesome. It's just talk about Nike now. No, that felt so awkward. No, I wanted to talk about because then you started doing conventions, right, with Groove.
Yeah.
Was that through Nike?
It was through at this time, which was interesting, like when I had my awakening and my shift in awareness, I realized that I was killing myself at my job. And I walked into work one day and I was going to vomit in my office. And I just said, that's it. I walked into my boss who was paying me a shitload of money. I was making great money. I just walked in and I said, I can't do this anymore. And he's like, please. I was like, no, I can't do it. I'm physically ill. I'm done. And I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had to claim bankruptcy. But during this time, I was still teaching my classes. I just wasn't managing anymore. And so because of this, what was interesting is that I call it my source, whether it's God or whatever. For me, it's whatever source, whatever gave me my life, I trust in and believe in. And during this process really gave me a deep connection to my source and that I could trust my source. And I basically said, you know, I'm a dancer. I can't do anything but dance. You better fucking show me the way because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pay my bills. I do not know what's going on. And then within a week, I got a call from Nike. They were looking for female fitness athletes to help promote their new women's fitness line that they just launched. And I was the first person on their list. Their whole team from Oregon came down and took my class. And the next day I had a contract. But at the same time, another woman came and took my class that was the director of another fitness convention in New York City. And she signed me instantly on the minute she met me and took my class. And so from that one convention, I was booked for 10 other conventions just from that one. And then Nike took me around the world and opened up the global stage for me and took me to Sweden, Denmark, and China. And that was, this is what I mean, like the World Groove Movement was born because something greater than me was making it happen, because it's so needed at this time that I couldn't do it on my own. And so it's like the wheels were greased and the path was open and I was taken where I needed to go. The doors were open. I was put in stages with thousands of people in front of me being able to share my philosophy and ideas. And that's where all my first facilitators came from, was from these conventions.
I love that, because I had a really difficult question or a difficult formulated question written down on how to talk about fitness conventions and then dancing and how to sneak dance into people's life through fitness. But this is what happened, right? So you said that all your facilitators came from the fitness conventions, basically.
Well, all my first and my master trainers, pretty much all but Danny met me at a fitness convention.
Yeah.
Even your girlfriend.
Yeah.
She met me at a Nike convention, I believe.
Yeah, I think she mentioned, yeah. I think that's the move, right? Apparently that's the move. Let's not hypothesize over that, because it was the move. So apparently sneaking dance in through the back door, into the fitness back door, is the way to get people dancing. Like Zumba did it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not dancing, I would say, but
it's moving.
It's moving.
Moving to music.
Yeah, and it's moving to music. So from that, dancing is not far away from that. And I think that's such an interesting journey or interesting path, because if you experience groove, you'd be like, this has nothing to do with fitness, unless maybe you take one of the fitness.
Oh yeah, groove will kick your ass.
It will kick your ass for sure, mm-hmm. And you will move, but it's not like
you don't relate to it.
No, and you wouldn't expect it at a fitness convention. So I just think it's really beautiful that it came from that, and how it captured your master trainers, that also all of them came from a fitness background and now are just raging hippies.
They're all raging hippies. They're freeze birds. But yeah, that was my doorway in to the audience to build it, because fitness isn't creative. There's nothing, it's everything's pre-programmed and structured and do this, do it this way, this alignment, this form, la da 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 da. And I came in as this way before my time. Like when I came in, people did not know what to do with me. Some conventions I didn't get invited back to because I was so out of the box that they were like, what? And then some conventions were like, I got awards. Like it just depended on the environment and the people. But I was doing wild functional fitness, having people crawl around on the floor to music and roll and do all this stuff, but in a creative way and not in a structured way 12 years ago. Now it's the norm. But back then, I think Paul Cech and I were the only ones really going into these primal fitness movement patterns, but I was doing it through dance and play and music and making it, I was hiding it. You didn't realize that you were doing functional fitness. You thought you were dancing, but I've got you crawling on the floor and doing all these different things. So the people that got it. And they're like, wow, everything, like Miranda, one of my master trainers from Australia, she was at Phylex and she went to all the top presenters, all the functional fitness, nutrition, and just all of this. And then she comes to my class and she goes, holy shit. She goes, you just did in 1 hour what but you practically applied it and actually gave me a visceral experience and put all the information every single one of these people did, and you did it all together in one and gave me an actual experience. She goes, I got it after that. And it wasn't that I have this better thing, but it's just like, fitness doesn't give you the opportunity to be creative. And that's what makes groove so unique, is that you connect with your creative, authentic self. Zumba does not connect you with your creativity. It may connect you with fun and play and movement and dance, but there's not space to be creative. You're not taught. Your success is when you've matched the person teaching. And that's with almost all fitness and dance classes, is that your level of success is when you look like the teacher. And I think that's insanity, like pure insanity. And so when I came in and I'm like, don't copy anyone, don't do anything anyone else. Like some people really struggled with it because I was the rebel and I was swearing and I was just this raw, real, I didn't give a shit. I'm like, I don't care if you like me. I'm not here for you to like me. I'm here to actually teach you something. Like, and people didn't know how to take me, but it caused a stir, and enough of a stir that it's actually what opened the doors for me all around the world.
Um, In Denmark right now, there's this tendency to bash self-development or like self-help. Like people had enough of it, I guess, because there's been like a huge wave of fix everything from X, Y, Z to with eating, not eating, thinking this, saying that, blah, blah, blah. And I've worked with many different methods, some I still practice and many I don't. What has your journey been like?
Mostly meditative. When I first had that powerful awakening, that moment, is when I started to meditate, and I didn't know how to meditate. And I ended up, when I quit my job, I'd meditate 6 to 8 hours a day. 6 to 8 hours. I would sit in this big chair and just download information and connect with myself. And I would receive information that was mind-boggling to me about myself and my own actions and my personality and what I'm trying to get from people. And just, I just sitting with my own self and my own thoughts and what I was thinking about was one of my greatest teachers. But then a book that I had at the time was called The Science of Mind. And that was my Bible. And I just holding that book, my frequency would change. I could feel my body actually shift just by holding. The wisdom in this book is beyond. And I could just literally open up any page and read that page and just go into complete connection and like, wow, and contemplate it. So that was a huge thing for me for a long time, The Science of Mind. And then I don't think that was a self-help. I think that was wisdom, deep wisdom that you can integrate about your own body, your own frequency and who you are. And but I can't stand self-help either. And when people tell me that I'm a self-help person, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm glad that what I've done helps you, but I don't want to be labeled as that or guru or any of that kind of stuff because I don't want that responsibility and I don't have the answers for anyone. I don't know what anyone should do. I really don't. And so I'm really turned off by it as well, even though I will say that I have received really powerful, like you have, stuff that you like and you apply and not, that crosses my path at the perfect moment and hits me and makes sense to me that I can apply. I've learned some really cool stuff from Anthony Robbins. Haven't taken his workshops, but I've seen a few of his videos on YouTube, and they were the ones I needed to hear about reframing my story or which, you know, there's stuff out there that can really, really help you if you apply it. And it's just knowing what that is through all the fluff, because there is so much fluff out there. And so for me, if it's not practical, tangible, and realistic right now, and I'm going to get results right now, I'm not interested. And that's why I love Groove, because it's instantaneous results. Groove, you have to practice it, yeah. But it's these simple things that are easy to practice, to apply. I love stuff like that I can apply instantly and get results. And that's what it has to be for me because, you know, I'm American. I want results. We all do, but I understand the thing in Denmark too. It's global. I'm so sick. And when I go through my, like, I'm on Instagram and I scroll through, I'm just like, I want to vomit because it's like everyone's trying to be profound and deep. And it's like, enough already. Just develop a relationship with yourself and see what happens. Like, it's the most important relationship you can have in your life is with yourself. And what I've realized is many people are afraid to be alone. They're afraid with their own thoughts. And developing that relationship with yourself, however you do it, whether it's through dance, whether it's through meditation, some form of movement, reading, sitting in nature, whatever it is that connects you to yourself is self-help.
Mm. So what I've experienced through Groove, but also at the retreats that I do myself, is this really cool thing. I have a quote from one of my participants this summer who said, I really enjoy that I'm working with myself without resurfacing old trauma. And me and Marcus, my partner in this, were like, yeah, I mean, you're always you. Like, you always bring you to wherever you are. And when you're then present and when you're moving and have an experience, maybe you meet some fear. Maybe you meet a challenge to say, I'm not strong enough, or I can't move this way because I'm sure that my knees will explode, or this is just not for me. And then you transcend that. All of a sudden, women realize they can actually lift logs. They can flip logs. Like, something shifts in them and it's empowering, but they're not sitting there telling me their story. Most of these guys, we share stuff with each other at sharings when we have that. And beautiful stuff comes up, but not something that we said, we would like you guys to work on this X, Y, and Z. Like, you should go back to your childhood, or How are you feeling right now? We're moving, we're meditating, we're reflecting. We're also taking time to go into stillness after a session, like you are as well, to let things, what is it called, fall to the bottom. Like let it sit. Some integration, yeah. And that's what I experienced on the groove dance floor myself. I really don't like walls, like the walls. And I had this experience. I just dropped in on one of my girlfriend's classes, and now it's difficult for me to say in Danish. We're waltzing around in the room, and I think it's stupid. I don't like it. I can't really. There's no freedom for me in this. And all of a sudden, I'm standing in the corner crying. I'm like, why the fuck am I crying? I'm not sad. I don't know why I'm all of a sudden touched by a waltz, but that's the thing. Like sometimes it's just emotions. Like it's just deeper level stuff that's being touched without me thinking about it, and I'm just there moving, and yeah, everything in me is moving.
Well, we're energetic beings, and emotion is just energy in motion. So when you start moving, and you start moving, especially like in like the stuff that you do, and also like with groove, where you're moving your body, not in these structured, standardized, like linear ways, you're actually moving in a more spiral, a more organic, creative flow. You are activating and moving that energy through your body. That's why I know most people end up crying at some point in groove. I still do. I'm like, same thing. It just happened to me the other day in groove. I was like, I just started sobbing. I'm like, here it goes. And I don't even question it. I already know now. And this is what I try to tell people. If emotion comes up, don't try to attach it to a story. Just let it be raw emotion and allow it to move. Let it flow through your body, because that's what's happening, is you're moving emotion through your body, and it's going to express itself and come out, and allow it. But don't attach it to like a sad story or try to find something of why am I crying and go looking for a story. Just stay present with the emotion and feel it, and really feel it and enjoy it and let it flow. And like, cool, that means my body is healing itself. It's moving the energy. It's moving all that stuck shit from the stories of your past.
Exactly.
That
you don't even have to... Sometimes the story comes up. Like all of a sudden, like it took me right back into that moment. Yeah. Like I had a class with Phil, who's filming and recording this, where I do this stress test where I slap people and push them a bit. And I found Phil's red button and it pushed to the back. And he was like, that was right back into a memory of, you know, a guy pushing me, and that there was an altercation. And I know this from a lot of the people that I work with. Like we have physical memories, and you can access them in different ways. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to, let's find those red buttons. But it's really cool when people are made aware that, oh, here's like an old memory, and it's connected to when I'm not moving, or it's connected to when I move fast, or when I'm expressing myself in a certain way.
Yeah.
I think, Misty, now that we... No, I'm actually going to skip that, because there's one important thing. So one really important thing that I want to discuss, like how do we get men on the dance floor? Because this, obviously, when you attend a groove class, there's more women dancing. And for some reason, it's more accessible for women to dance when there's no drugs or alcohol involved. That's also a rule at the groove dance floor. There's no drugs or alcohol on the floor. So how do we get men to dance? Because I know they want to.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
And whether someone says, it's like, but if I said to them, if you were good at it, would you love it? Oh, I would love it if I, like, everybody wants to dance. Everybody. It's because it's our natural form of movement. This is something that goes so much deeper. It has to come from men. It can't come from women.
So can't it come from you?
It can, but it doesn't matter because I'm not a man. And I don't have to deal with the things that men deal with. It's okay for women to dance. Like we're almost expected to. It's like we just fall in love with dance and all women want to dance. But men have to deal with cultural and men culture that you guys are mean to each other. Really mean to each other. And God forbid a guy goes to a dance class, every one of his friends is going to say you're gay.
Mm.
And there's nothing wrong with being gay, but in some cultures, that's a real dig. And so I can't stop any of that from happening. I know that when we bring men to the dance floor, we can make them feel really comfortable and they love it, but to get them there, is something that has to come from men, because men have to quit being so mean to each other in that way. Like, I've heard it from over and over. It's like, I can't, my boys will, I'll never hear the end of it from my guys. They're never going to let this down. And there's nothing I can do about that. That's about men have to either man up and go, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to dance anyways. Because we do have, we've created classes, Groove for Dudes, Groove for Guys, Athletic Groove. We actually have a whole athletic groove that I grooved a soccer team.
Nice.
Of men. They fucking loved it. But it was the team together, and I got them doing their drills, but to music, and they felt the unity of the synchronicity, and they were like, oh my God, we actually should train like this. And they loved it. And I could take it to them, but it was like part of their workout. So that was, and I made it really masculine for them. But I think men have to support men.
That's
in,
true.
In dance, and it can't I come agree. From women. The men have to like quit being so mean to each other and making stuff that would be labeled unacceptable or possibly feminine or gay or whatever. And just, I honestly, I don't have the answers, but it drives me nuts because we would love to have more men on the dance floor.
Yeah, and I see more men, like when they reach a certain age, they're like, okay, now I need to do it. Now I always love to dance, and I danced a lot at parties when I was drunk, and that was kind of the only place. And then they try to dance where there's no alcohol, and they just feel like, wow, I'm clear-headed. It's not way too late for me to get something done after a dance session. Yeah. And I really enjoyed myself. I expressed myself as well. I have some ideas in the future to get more men dancing. And I think it's slowly coming, also through fitness. Like just the fact that Ido Portal, like this big shred, or not big, he's not that tall, but really shredded and can do everything with his body. And he's also dancing, doing soft contact work. And like people start to see that, okay, there's actually a way for me to do this without, like it's allowed now. But again, it's still fringe.
Well, and it's timing. And it's timing, like people like you that are the ones that need to help us break down those barriers, because it needs to come from a man, because we're a woman. And like what I want every man out there to know, though, is that the groove dance floor is for you. If you're afraid of dance, if you're afraid of looking stupid, if you're afraid of all of that stuff and that's what's holding you back.
If you can't dance.
If you can't dance, or you don't feel like you're coordinated and you're just like, I am not good at this, come to a groove dance floor. Like, try it and see what happens and realize no one's looking at you. No one's judging you. In fact, we love it when you come. It's all inclusive. You don't have to know anything and you will walk out going, wow, I'm actually really good at this. But we can't force them to do it. I just invite them to try it and be willing to open themselves up to have that experience and see what happens. And they don't like it, they don't like it. But it's just the invitation to know that they're welcome and that it's the perfect place for them, especially if they're afraid. We're the perfect place for it because we're so welcoming and we're so excited that you even come. Like that it's and it also helps balance the energy of the male and the female, the masculine and feminine in the room, to have more men in the room. Just, it's awesome because it helps with the just energetic balance. It's wonderful. We want more men.
Thank you.
Get on the dance floor.
Yeah. All right. So now you're part of the manual, this podcast. What would the title of your chapter be, and what would it contain?
It would be called Creativity and the Power of Connection. And it would talk about connecting to your own creativity, and that being part of being a human being, and that we are all creative. We are born out of creativity. We are the creative force of the universe. Whatever created the universe created us, the most powerful force. And to connect yourself with that, and also to connect yourself creatively with others, and how powerful that is for your own mental and emotional health as being a human being, that we are so disconnected now from each other physically because of technology, more and more so. We're just more screen time and less FaceTime. That I would dive a lot into that and the importance of that, of creating a connection to yourself and also connections to others, because we are not here alone, and we wouldn't survive alone. And it's important that we feel a part of something, and we feel a part of a community, and we feel supported and loved. And everything else is ancillary. If you don't have those basic needs met, you can do as many push-ups as you want. It's not going to help you. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Thank you. All right, Misty, where can you, if you want to get on the dance floor or want to dance with you or your facilitators, where can one find your information and learn more about this?
Well, it's kind of a one-stop shop. If you will go to getgrooved.com, just getgrooved.com, you will find all you need. There's a class finder there, so you can search your area. You can put your area code in or your zip code and all the classes and facilitators in your area. There's also a link to Body Groove if you're interested in just grooving at home and just getting a taste of it and feeling it out. There's a link there for that. We also have retreats. Those are all listed there, and workshops and seminars, and it's a one-stop shop. You'll find everything there, all about Groove, who we are, what we're doing in the world, and how to get involved.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being part of the manual.
You are so very welcome.
Thank you, Misty. I appreciate it.
I'm very grateful that I get to be a part of it.
Det var episoden med Misty Tripoli. Jeg håber, at du nød den. Måske den har inspireret dig til at få lidt mere bevægelse og dans ind i din hverdag. Jeg har smidt nogle links i show notes, så du kan finde Groove Classes rundt omkring i Danmark. Jeg vil også lige smide en lille reklame for mig selv. Hvis du nu er interesseret i personlig træning i Aarhus eller Avning på Djursland, eller online træning anywhere, så kan du sende mig en besked eller gå ind på min hjemmeside benjaminhjertemod.dk, så vi kan komme i gang og se på, hvad mulighederne kan være for dig. Til aller sidst så et kæmpe tak til Alice Carey for det smukke musik, der lægger stemningen igennem denne podcast. Tusind tak, fordi du lytter med.